Let's open in prayer. Heavenly Father, merciful Lord God, we just thank you and praise you that we belong to you because of the finished work of the cross, because the Lord Jesus Christ was faithful unto death. And so we ask you tonight, Father, by your Holy Spirit, that you will speak to our hearts and our minds, and we will hear what you want us to hear, Lord, not what we think we want to hear. So open us up, Lord, wide. Search our hearts. You know our hearts. You know what we need. And you know we're a sinful people that need your love and forgiveness constantly. And we thank you because we know we have it when we come to you and ask. So, Father, tonight, have your way. Let nothing be said here, Lord God, would cause any division or cause any hardship for anybody, but that your word will bring peace, comfort, and unity that only we can have when we truly walk in the light and stay in the light and have fellowship with one another, because you love us with an everlasting love. And your promise is that you would never leave us nor forsake us. So, Father, have your way tonight. And we ask this in the name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen, amen. All right, we're still in Ephesians chapter 4. I'm going to speak tonight from verse 17 through 24. And I'm sure we're going to get through it if I stay, of course, stay the way. All right? So, verse 17 says, "This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the Gentiles walk in the futility of their mind." Mind is going to be mentioned here a couple times tonight, and we don't realize how effective or defective our mind can be. And the mind, when we see something, we think, and we're thinking with our mind. And when we hear something, we start thinking of what we heard, and then we start making pictures. And I don't know about you, but oftentimes I think about things that are totally empty. And if you look this up in the Greek, vanity or futility means empty, emptiness. So often we put so much empty things into our mind that it offsets what the Lord wants in our minds. And we constantly do this, and a lot of times not even thinking about it. The things we do, the things we see, and the things we say, and it just fills up our mind with emptiness. Things of no value. We can have earthly value of things, but sometimes we put more emphasis on the earthly than the spiritual. And the body, they say you are what you eat, right? Take a look. But spiritually, we are spiritually what we think. Think about those two things. Are we growing physically by what we eat, or are we growing spiritually, the spirit that lives within us growing because of the things that we're thinking about, the things that we're putting in our mind? And so often we just go our way not even thinking about it, our daily walk. We don't realize that all around us, constantly, if you're working or if you don't work, watching TV, going down to Walmart, all of these things, everything that we say and do is influence us, everything. And sometimes we don't even realize the strong hold that it will put upon us if we continue walking in this way, thinking in this way. The Bible says that anything that is done not in faith is what? Now, what is anything? Excuse me? Yeah, anything. But we don't even think about that. We just go on daily living because we have to satisfy certain things in our life, the fleshly desires, whatever they might be. And today when I was talking to the Lord and working on this message, I just told him, whatever. I just totally want your will in my life, regardless of what goes on, because nothing else satisfies. Have this constant struggle within It's a constant thing because I want His perfect will in my life. And how am I going to get that if I don't constantly have my mind stayed on Him and on His Word? But I get so drawn away. The monasteries, it was a good part, I think a good thing for people to get away and so on and so forth. And I used to say, yeah, that's great, but you're taking yourself into the monastery. But in my life now, I know that if I was in a monastery right now, with this feeling that I have and with this knowledge that I have that Christ loves me and He'll always love me in spite of myself, I think I'd do pretty good in a monastery as long as there was nobody around. Me, the only one. You understand what I'm trying to say? So tonight, this is what I want you to think about more than anything else, because this is what the Lord put on my heart. Our minds have to be stayed on the one that can fill us with what we truly need. The body needs food. I know this. The body needs water and all of these things. But sometimes we put more emphasis on what the body needs instead of what our spiritual life needs. We're only here for a short period of time. 70 years plus 10 maybe, or my mother-in-law, she's 98, honey, is she? She's 98. I know some women that we used to minister to at the nursing home, 105. But the point is, this life is very, very short. And how we use what time that we have is going to be either beneficial for us later, or it's not. A lot of people talk about getting crowns. The Bible says we'll get crowns, but we're going to put them at His feet, rewards and so on and so forth. But this is for me. I could care less if I ever get a crown or if I ever get a reward. All I want to do is go home and be with Him. So I want to do what I can while I'm here, what He wants me to do more than anything else. So the mind is very, very important. You've always got to be cognizant of what's going on around, what He's trying to do to take you away from your mind on Him. When I say Him, small H-I-M, Satan, because He's alive and well. Constantly trying to draw us back into where we were before we got where we are now. We have to think differently. We are born again, right? Born again from above. That's a spiritual, supernatural thing. We're not born of flesh, right? So we have to think differently. And we can think differently because the Holy Spirit lives within us. Amen? So we should be thinking differently. Even when we go into Walmart. Before we go into Walmart, we should let the Lord captivate our mind. Even before walk through the door. The mind is very, very powerful. Amen? But we have the Holy Spirit living within us that we can go to when these things start to approach us. Or when they hit us head on and we do fall. I don't know if it's in the song or not, but when we fall on Jesus. Amen? Think about that. Think about that. If you sin and you fall, Jesus is there, regardless. And this is what I struggled with for a long, long time, that if I sinned, I'd have such a condemnation fall upon me. It was heartbreaking until I realized how much He truly loves me. And the more we get to know Him, not know of Him. We can know of Him, but we must know Him. And there's a big difference. I know of George Washington. I know of a lot of things, but I don't know them. I don't know them personally, but I know the Lord Jesus Christ personally. And He is the one that said He loves me with an everlasting love. And regardless, when I fall, when I sin, He's there and He still loves me. That love doesn't change. Because He never changes. And His love is constant. So that's another thing. The mind, stay that mind on that love regardless of what happens, the love is still there. And that's very important because so many people don't realize that, how deep that he loves. And the only way you're really going to take your mind into that place, into that sacred place, into that sanctuary, as you get to know him more and more. And how do we get to know him more and more? By his word, by association with him personally, speaking to him, and let him speak to us. So the mind is very, very important, that we are to think differently. We've got so much hitting us. TV, the news, and the politics, and I mean, it's amazing what's going on in our day now that wasn't there 10 years ago. Just a lousy 10 years. So just think of what it's going to be like in another 10 years unless we hear that trumpet. Amen? So the mind, we're not to walk like we used to walk. We have to walk differently. We have to speak differently. We have to act differently. And the only way that's going to happen in a constant way is if our mind is stayed on him and his word is living within us and we're feeding on that word, and more the word is coming in and staying in there when we do fall. Verse 18, having their understanding darkened, being annihilated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart. The blindness. I looked that word up and I was totally surprised. Totally surprised. Do you know what ossify means? Does anybody know what ossify means? No? Close though. Ossify. O-S-S-I-F-Y. That's pretty good. You know what fossils are? Okay, ossify is a processing. It's a process. To convert into or cause to harden like bone, used without an object, ossified, ossifying, to become bone or harden like bone. This is the part. This is the part I love. To become rigid or inflexible in habits, attitudes, and opinions. Think about that. Habits, attitudes, opinions. Do you know anybody that... I got to bring this one up because this is me. And the Lord spoke to me about this. Opinions. I'm ossifying constantly when it comes to opinions. But see, God will show you things. God will open up our hearts to him when things are going on in our lives and we don't even realize it. I'm very opinionated. And I always have been. But God's working on my heart. I still can have opinions, but I can't ossify them. Amen? We can't. But some of us, now not everybody has these problems. I'm just throwing some of these out because I'm sure there's one or two people here that has a problem with attitudes. But my point is that God will work these things out if we allow him, if we let him. And the things that we do in our lives, we do because we want to. But we don't have to do them because we have the power living within us that sets us free from that power that's working on us. So with that power can be rejected if we allow the Holy Spirit to work in our lives to give us that power to not to fall into those traps. Well, you can't blame anybody but ourselves when these things happen. When I lose my temper, I can't blame anybody but myself. And at times I have a terrible temper. Then there's other times I'm like a pussycat. But we do fall into these traps when we allow our mind to be influenced by an outside source. And that's the key. The mind, again, I'm going to keep throwing the mind out because I want you to just grasp it and put it in your mind, what I'm trying to bring to you tonight. The blindness. We were that way. That was our lifestyle then. See, we sin, all right? Everybody in this room sins. But, get this now. I'm going to throw this out. You are not sinners. You understand that? You sin, but you're not a sinner. None of us are sinners. If we're a sinner, that's our lifestyle. That's not our lifestyle. We're walking in the way. We're walking with the Lord Jesus Christ. But we sin, but we're not sinners. Don't ever let anybody say you're a sinner. No, I sin, but I'm not a sinner. That's not my lifestyle anymore. My lifestyle was, I was a drunk. Okay? I'm not a drunk anymore. I sin, but I'm not a drunk. But I'm not a sinner, and none of you are sinners. You agree with that, I hope? I hope you do. Because if you think you're a sinner, take it to the Lord. He'll show you that you're not a sinner, that you sin. And you can't help but sin because you have that sin nature. But yet we still have the power over that. But yet we still sin. But that's the purpose of the blood of Jesus Christ. That never loses its power. That is what we cling to when we do sin. We ask for forgiveness, and that blood cleanses us. It's a continuum. It never stops. Amen? So their understanding's darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart. I chose to live my life the way I wanted to because I had a hardened heart and I turned a blind eye to what God wanted for me and I went my way. 19, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness to work all uncleanness with greediness. All of these things, Paul's saying, this is the way we were. This was our life. This is what we enjoyed doing because we turned our back on God. We had a knowledge of God, but we turned our back. And we went our own way because that's what we wanted to do. We didn't want God in our lives. We didn't want to be hindered. We wanted to do our own thing. And to do our own thing, you can't have God in your life. And sin, the Bible says, sin for a season is enjoyable, right? But the whole thing with sin is, you get one little sin, you do it again, you do it again, it gets deeper, the hole gets tighter and tighter and tighter and tighter. And before you know it, you are lost in that sea of sin. You're totally lost and you can't get out. There's only one way to get out. And that's through Christ. But sin will continue gripping, holding, and gets worse and worse. One little sin, then you want to do something. You're not satisfied with that, so you want more of something, more and more and more. That's like pornography. It's the same thing with pornography. A lot of guys can relate to that. You look at one picture, oh, that's nice. You look at that picture more and more, well, there's got to be something better. So then you look at another picture, you look at another and another. Before you know it, you're in a total cesspool. It's a cesspool. And it just doesn't stop with men and women. It goes on and on, and I'm not going to go any further than that, but it's total evil and personified. That sin of pornography will just grip and grip and grip and grip. All right, that's heavy stuff. But, verse 20, but you have not so learned Christ. You have not so learned Christ. Amen? Now, he didn't say, you have not learned about Christ. He says, you so learned Christ. Remember how I was talking about learning about Christ or know Christ? There is a big difference. To learn Christ means to have a personal relationship with Him through the born-again experience. A lot of people have a relationship supposedly with God, but they have no relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you do not have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, you do not have a relationship with the real God. Amen? You can't have a relationship with God if Christ is not your Lord and your Savior. You can't. And He can't be just your Savior. It's impossible. He has to be your Lord. If He can't be your Lord, He can't be your Savior. You have to totally commit yourself to Him. Totally. He's Lord and Savior. Because He's already Lord, isn't He? Whether you're saved or not, or I'm saved or not, He's still Lord. That doesn't change. Right? In order to be saved, He has to be your Lord to save you. Amen? So, He's the Savior. He's the Lord. He becomes your Savior. He's your Lord and Savior. There's no two ways about it. You can't walk with God the Father unless at first you're walking with Christ the Son. It's inevitable. It doesn't happen. So, we have learned Christ through His Word, through the power of the Holy Spirit living within us. Living within us, guiding us, bringing this Word to life in our souls, our spirits. Jesus is the Logos. He is the Word. He is the living Word. This is the written Word. And as this written Word comes into our lives, comes into our minds, comes into our spirit, the Holy Spirit opens up our understanding, gives us that understanding to know Him in a personal way. Not to know of Him. You know Him. You walk with Him. You talk with Him. He talks to us. I've never heard Him audibly, but I hear Him constantly through the Word. In my spirit, I hear it in my spirit. But I know there is a day coming I will hear Him audibly. Amen? So, we know Him. We have a relationship with Him. But you have not so learned Christ. In other words, none of what He is saying has anything to do with us now. Because Christ says, this is the way it is now. This is how you're going to walk now. Because I'm in your life. You have my Spirit dwelling within you to give you this power. The power is His. It's given to us to walk this new walk, to walk this new life. And then when we fall, we can get up because we know He's there with us, helping us. Amen? If indeed you have heard Him and have been taught by Him as the truth is in Jesus. What did Jesus say? I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. There is no truth apart from Christ. There is no life apart from Christ. We have an existence, but we won't have a life. He is our life. He is life. He is the giver of life because He is life. So apart from Him, there is no life. Existence only. I existed for, well, how old was I? 37? I existed for 37 years. But I started to live that day. When Christ come into my life, then I had a life. I was existing in His life. Amen? 22. That you put off concerning your former conduct the old man, which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. Deceitful lusts. 2 Timothy 2:22, please. Flee also youthful lust, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Out of a pure heart. How do we get a pure heart? Only by walking with Christ, listening to Christ, reading His Word, allowing the Holy Spirit to guide us into all of this truth and peace. And every time we call on the Lord, regardless of what's going on in our lives, He is there to help us. He never stops. And that's the beauty of this Christian relationship. The lust, a strong desire and intense craving for something. Its other uses are negative, such as gratifying sensual cravings, desiring the forbidden, longing for the evil, coveting what belongs to someone else, or striving for things, persons, or experiences contrary to the will of God. And often in our lives, we desire for some of these things that the world puts out there that we see, well, it's not bad. There's nothing wrong with that. And before you know it, you get so involved in that that you're not involved with the church. You're not in your relationship with the fellowship. You put the fellowship on a back burner with these things that are supposedly in themselves, nothing wrong with it. But yet then we start neglecting one another to do something else and so on and so forth. Did I make myself clear to most of you? Thank you. 23, and be renewed. Be renewed in the spirit of your what? Mind. In the spirit of your mind. Romans 12:2. For those of you who know me very well, you were probably wondering where all the scripture was. I left a lot of it out. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We read these things and we read His Word and it goes right over our heads sometimes. That's because our mind is not stayed on what He wants us to read. We don't allow His Holy Spirit to speak to us. When we read this, I've been reading this for years, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed. Went right over my head. Being conformed to this world is doing the things in the that the world does that are seemingly all right. There's nothing wrong with them. But before you know it, I'm going to step on a toe, but I don't care. Before you know it, the kids, Sunday comes, and they're in school, and they want to play sports. So we don't go to Sunday school today because I got to take Sean to play baseball. Or Wednesday night, they got a night game. I'm sorry I said it, but I don't care. We can't be conformed to the world. Who is more important to us, the Lord Jesus Christ, or what the world thinks of us if we don't let our kid play on Sunday or Wednesday nights? I'm sorry? That's right. But so many of us, we conform ourselves because we don't want them to think bad of us. I suppose I better drop it there, but let's go with Colossians 3:10. I've always been a troublemaker. Right, Arlene? I was the black sheep. Colossians 3:10. And have put on the new man who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of Him who created him. The new man. We're new. Men and women. If Christ is our Lord and our Savior, we're new. We've been born again. We're now born into His likeness. And we're supposed to be learning of Him more and more to conform to His likeness, to the image of Christ. And this is what the Lord, this is what the Father wants. He wants us to be totally consumed with love and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, to be conformed to His image, that we walk in His light. He says, when we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. But more than that, we have fellowship with the Father. That is the greatest association that we can have. We have fellowship with the living God, the one that spoke and it was, the one that created everything. I'm reading a book now by A.W. Tozer. There's two volumes of it. The Attributes of God. If you can get your hands on it, read it. It's fantastic. The Attributes of God. It takes you. He takes you so deep and so far into the knowledge of the Father. It's just wonderful. I can't explain it. You have to read it yourself, and you have to let the Holy Spirit speak to you as He's explaining these attributes of God the Father, the one that loves us, the one that sent His Son, and be renewed. So we have to put off the old man, right? We have to put off those things that so easily beset us. Like that, Karate Kid? Wax off, wax on. Is that what it was? Wax off, wax on. Well, we have to put off. We have to put off. And now we have to put on the new man. Put it on. What's that mean? Go to Romans 6:4. I'm almost through, Arlene. Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also walk in newness of life. We also walk in newness of life. We have a new life. We have life. We have life. I've got a lot more. Romans 7:6. But now we have been delivered from the law, having died to what we were held by, so that we should serve in the newness of the Spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. So he's telling us again, we were gripped by the law. Do this, don't do this, and so on and so forth. Now we're set free because Christ fulfilled the law. Amen? He fulfilled the law. Now he is our Sabbath. He is our rest. We rest in him. He's taking care of it all. But we love the law of God because it was good. But we were bad. We were sinful. We still sin. So, put off the old man. Put on the new man. I've got to read this to you. It's about the mind. I should have read it before, but I was reading Wiersbe again today, too. And he says, as the mind understands the truth of God's word, it is gradually transformed by the Spirit, and this renewal leads to a changed life. And that's what I was talking about, physically we eat and so on and so forth. But that was Wiersbe's Proverbs 23:7. For as he thinks in his heart, so is he. Right? The mind, the heart, the mind. So the mind. Grasp that. Use that. Let it transform you as you read the word, as you pray, as you seek him in your life. Let him control your mind. Let the word control your mind. Eat the word. Grow fat spiritually on his word. And the life that we have, the life that we're walking, will get a lot easier till he takes us home. I want to read this one thing. It's going to take a minute. Oh, good. I got 3 minutes to do it. To the child of God, there is no such thing as accident. He travels an appointed way. The path he tread was chosen for him when as yet he was not, when as yet he existed only in the mind of God. Accidents may indeed appear to befall him, and misfortune stalk his way, but these evils will be so in appearance only, and will seem evils only because we cannot read the script of God's hidden providence, and so cannot discover the ends at which he aims. When true faith enters, chance and mischance go out for good. They have no jurisdiction over them that are born of the Spirit. For such as these are the sons of the new creation and special charges of the Most High. While sojourning here below, these children of the eternal covenant may pay token tribute to nature, sickness, old age, and death may be levy upon them. As to the undiscerning eye, they may seem to be as other men. Here, as in all other judgments upon Christianity, the world is completely fooled by appearance, for it cannot see that these believing ones are hid with Christ in God. Colossians 3:3. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. The man of true faith may live in the absolute assurance that his steps are ordered by the Lord. For him, misfortune is outside the bounds of possibility. He cannot be torn from this earth 1 hour ahead of time, which God has appointed, and he cannot be detained on earth 1 minute after God has done with him. He is not a waif of the wide world, a founding of time and space, but a saint of the Lord and the darling of his particular care. All this is not mere dreaming, not a confronting creed woven as a garment to warm the shivering hearts of lonely, frightened souls in the dark and unfriendly world. Rather, it is of the essence of truth, a fair summation of the teaching of the Bible, on the subject and should be received reverently and joyously along with everything else which is taught in the Scriptures of truth. Here then I doubt no more, but in His pleasure rest, whose wisdom, love, and truth and power engage to make me blessed. Amen. It's A.W. Tozer. We travel in an appointed way. God bless you all and thank you. Bob?